Today's segment of Sound Balming is brought to you by Jimmy and Mary's Authentic Body Care. I cannot express to you how much we love, love, love their products. Although we use them all year, as the weather gets colder, we need these products even more. The dreaded drop in temperature, the dryness, the itchiness, and the unnecessary flakiness is inevitable. Shea Butter from Jimmy and Mary's Authentic Body Care is the only thing that works for my skin and hair needs. Not only do these products cure my dry skin, the whipped butter goes on smoothly and doesn't leave that uncomfortably thick, sticky residue. Bonus? It smells absolutely amazing. There are so many different scents to choose from too. Not only do they carry skincare products, there are products for authentic living, face, shower, hair and beard, spritzers and perfumes, and bath products. Let me tell you, we cannot even keep the stuff in the studio. The entire production team, as well as all our children, use Jimmy and Mary's product. Jimmy and Mary's take pride in creating quality, handcrafted products from simple ingredients for the entire family. Their products are made for all skin types and are 100% handmade, 100% vegan, and 100% cruelty-free. Skincare is important. Moisture is key, and keeping our skin and hair hydrated is essential. I cannot emphasize how much we trust Jimmy and Mary's for all of our skincare needs. Hurry on up to jimmyandmarys.com and check out their products. Did I mention service is fast and efficient too? Don't forget to mention that you heard about Jimmy and Mary's authentic skincare on Sound Balming. Use the discount code SOUNDBALM20 to get 15% off. That's SOUNDBALM20 for 15% off at Jimmy and Mary's Authentic Skin Care.
Hey everybody, welcome to Sound Balming. I created this show for people who want to experience a radical, life-changing journey through the sounds of my diverse guests. I hope that each sound you hear on this show will strengthen your faith, encourage your dreams, and challenge you to awaken the greatness within you.
Drop the bomb.
We're gonna drop the bomb.
This is a journey into sound. A journey which along the way will bring to you new color, new dimension, new values, and a new experience.
Lamar Darnell Shields.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Whatever the time of the day it is, I am your host, Dr. Lamar Darnell Shields, the creator of Sound Balming. And my goal with this show is to introduce you, yes, you, introduce you to people with ideas that will help you unlock your full potential. Now, Sound Bombers, I know if your mother, grandmother, auntie, uncle is anything like my mother and my uncle and my father, you've all heard this. Money doesn't grow on trees. So don't run into your backyard and think that money is going to come into your trees. It ain't raining back there. You know when they say make it rain, it's not happening. This is the nugget of wisdom that so many of us were handed down as children, and often the financial literacy education ended right there. There was nothing else. Mom and dad said, money doesn't grow on trees, and then it stopped. Well, a new survey by creditcards.com found that 1 in 4 U.S. adults with children under the age of 18, and I fall in that category, said that their parents provided no money lessons as a child. In the case of money matters, ignorance is not bliss, and what you don't know can hurt you. Research also shows that children benefit from learning about how money works beginning at a very young age, with some schools stepping up to tackle the issue in the classroom. But we know most of these schools are not teaching any financial literacy. Well, how can parents teach financial wisdom to their children in a practical way that will benefit them for their whole lives? I am so glad you asked, because my next guest is the founder and CEO of Dollars at 10, a unique nonprofit organization for families teaching transformation through financial education. Dollars at 10 comes from this person's experience of handling her finances at the age of 10 years old. Now, I wasn't handling no finance at the age of 10 years old, but my next guest is going to talk about that. She credits that experience for the financially savvy person she is today. With the lessons learned early to save and invest wisely, things that I did not know about, she purchased her first home in New York. Now, you know, that's a big deal. At the age of 25, after relocating to the United States for college as an international student. She is the author of two books, Teach Me How to Money Now and Cooper Learns to Save, books that help parents start the conversation. She started her financial lessons early, and I am so glad that you're with us today, because my next guest, Anissa Morgan, is going to tell you, she's going to share with you some of the lessons that she learned from coming from another country, coming here, then coming to this country, and going to teach us what we need to know because she's taught her children. I would like to welcome my friend Anissa Morgan to Sound Bombing Homegirl. Welcome to the show. Let our listeners know where you're calling in from. Let them know where you are from, and let them know how you're doing. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Dr. Lamar. I'm so honored to be here. Thank you so much for having me on your platform today. I am currently in Atlanta, Georgia, where I have lived for the past 14 years, but I am originally from Jamaica. That is where I grew up.
She's a yachty. She's a yachty.
Yes, yes, I am. Grew up in Jamaica with my grandparents. My parents migrated to the States when I was about 6 years old. So they left me in the capable hands of my grandparents who raised me. And when I turned 18 and was getting ready to go to college, that's the time that I migrated here to the States. So my journey with financial education started when I was 10 years old. So my parents decided to start sending me my lunch and allowance money for the month. And of course, my grandmother were looking at my parents like they were crazy. Like, what are you doing? She's 10 years old. She's going to waste the money and come to me for more. I don't have any more to give her. And so I knew that I had to be, you know, one of two things. Either I was going to, you know, spend my little 10-year-old heart out on candy, or I was going to be good. And because I did not want to disappoint my grandmother, because, you know, I loved her so much. And one, if there's anything that you know about me, is that whenever I am challenged about not being able to do something, I am going to prove you wrong. And so I decided in my little 10-year-old heart that I was going to be the best at this. And so that was my first introduction. And so I was able to start managing my money, actually have a little budget, because I wanted to make sure that money lasted, my lunch money and my allowance for the month, and started saving. And that is how, so I got enough money. I would buy things and sell at school because I didn't like candy. So I would buy candy. And so I was turning a profit. Those are some of the things that I was doing as I went along when I had extra money to, you know, start investing in my little business. And those are things that I did. And so that was my first introduction to my money lesson.
I'm just listening to you. Why couldn't you be my little girlfriend at 10 years old growing up in Chicago? You know, why couldn't I hang out with people like you at 10? You know, when I was a kid growing up in Chicago back then, you know, we had what we call penny candy. And you know, you take that quarter, you slam it down. You thought you had big money. Like, give me five of them. Give me seven of those. Give me eight of them. Give me. And they say black kids don't know math. Be real clear. That 25 cent went a long way. So listening to you at 10 years old, I'm sure somebody's like, man, I didn't do that until I was 30 or 40 or 50 years old. You're talking about your grandmother, and I have family with Jamaican roots. What role does your Jamaican roots play in what you just shared with me? Because we talk about the big C, and then there's this little C. And then when I talk about the big C culture, small C culture, what role did your Jamaican culture play in? Or maybe your grandmother played in with that whole role of managing money, understanding the value of money?
Yeah. So my grandma, you know, once she saw that I was doing well, you know, she was proud. My other cousins, even sometimes my grandmother would be borrowing money from me because, you know, they saw that I definitely had the knack for this and was doing well. So the culture, what I learned was that I had to make these dollars stretch and understand the value of a dollar. And that was one of the most important lessons I learned, and learned early. So when I came to the States, I realized, wow, it was a different culture. It was like a culture shock for me, because when I went to college, I realized that there were so many of my peers that had no understanding about finances at all, money at all. You know, they were just taking out student loans, credit cards, and just starting to rack up debt. And I was like, what are you doing? And so for me, culture was really big, because the things that I learned and the values I learned early about money made me understand that that's not what I wanted to do. I noted in my book as well that early on, when I finished college and decided, okay, I want to save to buy my first home, my friends were going to parties and they're like, Anissa, let's go to a party. I was like, no. So I was working two jobs. So on the weekend, I would have a part-time job, and that was for me to live on. And then my salary, I was saving to purchase my first home.
Wow. You know, it's interesting. I'm so glad you talked about your culture and your, because you think about this running joke with Jamaicans having a whole bunch of jobs.
Yes,
you
know,
I tell people, when you talk about stereotypes, you know, one thing I learned from one of my teachers said, it's not that stereotypes aren't true. They aren't the full truth. And we can make joke, you know, laugh about that, because I have folks from the Caribbean family as well. But there's some truth in that culture that you said, because thinking about what you were just talking about, I'm thinking about when I was 25, I think about my good friend, Kirk Sykes, who listens to my show. I moved to Baltimore to become a teacher. He was already here. He bought his house at 25. I was still trying to turn up, you know, then he buys something else. Then I'm still trying to turn up. But I think about what you're saying, that you had a plan that sort of laid out. My assistant, shout out to my assistant, Betty Blaze, Betty is almost 70 years old. You and I, we go to college, we get these degrees, we do all this. And I look at people like your grandmother and, you know, your grandmother, my grandmother, who they got this root knowledge. They got this cultural knowledge, didn't have all these degrees. But when I look at Betty, Betty has never bounced a check. Betty has never missed out on the, and she would say stuff to me like, why would I? You know, why would I? But people like us who, we've been sold a bill of goods. You go to school, you get a credit card, you do all this. I remember when I was at Grambling, shout out to Grambling State University. When I went to Grambling, I fought to get the credit card companies off the campus. Not because I didn't know what I was talking about. It was because I fell down that rabbit hole. I was like, so when I charge this, Anissa, when I go to the Foot Locker and I charge these shoes, I got to pay this back? Because nobody in my house told me about that. So then what is the best way that you've discovered to teach a child the value of money? Talk to me about that first step.
So the first step, I believe, is actually involving them, letting them. So I truly believe that we learn by doing, right? And so, you know, you learn to ride a bike and you never forget. So if we actually involve, and unfortunately, a lot of times in our community, we tend to hide our money, you know, what we make, we hide, you know, how we're paying bills. We hide those things from our children. And I don't believe that we should. And I'm not saying that, you know, you're going to do this age appropriately. And you also know your child. So you start introducing them to little lessons that are going to help them. So, and if you want to use numbers that are not necessarily your numbers, but close to it, say, okay, this is what, you know, your parents make, this is what we make, and this is how we're budgeting. And so something that I do with my own children is that when they ask me for something and I don't tell them I can't afford it, I tell them this is not in the budget this month. Now let's figure out a way how we can get it in the budget for next month.
I want to stop you right there. I'm glad that you said that we can't afford it, because my partner, my good partner, Dr. Marina Gilmore, she's a white female, grew up in California. And I have to say that she's white. Typically, I don't get into culture like the races, but as a white woman growing up in California, she's now spending a lot of time with people of color. And she said to me, she says, Lamar, why? She said, I've discovered many of the people that's in the black community. Now she's talking about her extension. Okay. Not just not a blanket statement. She says they come from a spirit of lack, like lack. Mm-hmm. And I love how you changed it. And there's some truth to what she said. Somebody's probably getting mad, but there's a lot of truth, because even when I take kids out of the country, I used to take kids out of the country, Anissa, to do these international programs. And I would take the amount out and I would say, this is your investment. Your investment is $2,500. It doesn't cost $2,500. But I love how you took the language and said, it's not in our budget, because in your kids' mind is, well, we can't afford this and we can't afford that and we can't afford that. And so right. I think vocabulary and language is very important at a very young age, because again, that it's not saying that you can't afford. It's like, no, it's not in the budget right now. And maybe I don't want it. And I'm sure some kids, like, okay, they go back and forth. But the reality is you're helping them build that vocabulary. So you're talking about talking with them, but is there a certain age that you start? And while you're thinking about that answer, they're a certain age, what are some other questions that you may start asking your kids, that you've asked your kids, to get them involved in the conversation around money?
So some of the questions that I ask, you know, I ask them, you know, what do you think about money? Because I think your money belief is one of the biggest things that impacts you, you know, for a lifetime with money, right? If you don't change that belief. And so one of the things I ask my kids, what are your beliefs? What do you believe? Where do you think money comes from? How do you think mommy and daddy gets this money? Or, you know, my 5-year-old will say, mommy, just swipe the plastic, just swipe the card. You know, and he's actually said that, just swipe the card.
I mean, to a kid, think about that, Anissa. Think about how powerful that is. You have a card. This little thing has some type of power. And in the kid's mind, like, because yes. You and I, and I'm sure your experience, like mine, it wasn't a whole bunch of swiping cards. It was like,
no,
counting out their money. But to swipe a card to a 5-year-old, that's a lot. That is magic to them.
Right. And so he just was like, swipe the card, you know, because he's seen us go to the store and we'll swipe our card. So in his mind, it's just swipe the card and you get money. So I asked him, I said, where do you think the money comes from? You know, when we swipe that card, you need to make sure that you have the money to pay that back. And I tell them, it's a loan. So this is a loan you're borrowing from your credit card company, and you have 30 days to pay it back. And I really have these conversations. My oldest is now 18. My middle son is 14 and my youngest is 5.
All right. Who's the best at managing money? Be honest.
So be far, real clear. My 18-year-old. Lord, please help me pray for my 14-year-old. We need to do some work with him.
My oldest, I have 20, 17 and 14. My 20-year-old Anissa, so we share an account. I gave her a shout out to Bank of America. I gave them Bank of America account. And this child, she's passed a financial class at college, but failed my class. She's like, well, Baba, I got an A in my class. I said, well, I'm in the real world. The real world says that you're failing because I'm getting all these late fees on there.
And oh, so, Lord.
So my oldest is struggling. My youngest, my daughter, yes, she's good. My youngest son, this dude, I think, is sitting on a knot of money. He spends nothing. He has a credit card from his mom, a debit card from his mom, a debit card from me. This dude never pulls that card out. So it's very interesting to see how they handle
it. You also have to know your kid. You also have to know your child. You have to know each of them. Each of their personalities are different. Each of their money personalities are different. So it's good. And this is why we need to start having these conversations. And this is why we need to start having them handle money, so we can see, okay, well, you know, for your 20-year-old, we need to have a conversation. For my 14-year-old, we need to have a conversation around how do we go forward when we're spending money. And so that way we can help them make better money choices. Mm-hmm. And that is the biggest tool. If we don't know, if we've never gotten that lesson, right? We never got that lesson until we go out in the world and that's the first time we're spending money. That's the first time we're you know, handling a credit card. A lot of people don't write checks anymore, but in our day, it was writing a check, you know, learning any of that information. If the first time you're doing that is as an adult, you're already at a disadvantage.
Mm. Yeah. So you're right. One of the things that I've consistently done with my children, we're a 1099 family, so ain't no 9-to-5. Like when I go and speak, I get paid.
Right.
So when a check comes in the mail, we grab the check, depending on who's with me going to the bank, we pray over that. We thank God. We thank our ancestors. We thank the creator for it. And then I let my son and or daughter to deposit the check because I want them to see that process. That we're thanking every person who was involved in me either going to speak, wrote the check, who called me, who booked us for this, I want them to understand that there's an entire process with them. And I want them to have a relationship with them, because I do want to remove them from this level of lack. In my family, I was writing checks early for my mother because I went to a private school. So she'll send me there with a check and I'll write the check out. So I learned at a very young age. So I will give that to my mother. But we also did come from lack. My mom talked about single mother. She talked about a lot of things, you know, that we couldn't have. Going to McDonald's, I was just telling my son this. Man, it was a big deal. When my mom came home with some McDonald's, this is like the 70s and 80s. So this ain't old. But when my mom came home with some McDonald's and Nisa, it was like a big,
Christmas.
A whole neighborhood. Like, yo, we're turning up when it comes to. So again, but when I look at my mom, how she was raised, you know, culturally, it was very, very different. Why do you then think it's important right now to start teaching children about finances early? Why not later? Why not teach our kids when they're going to college? Why not waiting with it when they're about to get married? Why do you think starting early is the best part? Is the best reason?
Starting early. So my question is, as I think about this, how differently would your life have been if you had these lessons earlier?
So much.
And these are the conversations I've had.
You're making me depressed now, thinking about what life would have been like. No, keep going. I'm about to start crying on the show, on my own show. I'm about to have an Oprah moment now. What my life would be like. No, go ahead.
And so, you know, imagine what a child's life would be like if they're taught, you know, how to manage money at home or at school. Imagine the financial well-being of these children as adults. And so those are the things that I think about. You know, what if we were taught about taxes and you know, different personal finance matters? Negotiating is one of the big things that, especially in our community, that we're not taught. And unfortunately, we leave so much money on the table because we don't negotiate, right? We just feel like, oh, we're getting this first job and let me just take it because this is what I can get. And just instilling that knowledge into our children. It is just so important that we start early. I know how profoundly it affected my life. And when I started teaching it to my children, I saw the difference. And as I've gone through life, you know, gone to colleges here, I saw that there were so many people who did not have that information and how detrimental it was to them as adults. The debt that they got into. There's so many adults today that say to me, grandmothers, mothers, people who don't have kids just say, I wish someone had taught me, you know, more about money when I was younger. And so that to me lets me know that there is this void that must be filled, because it can truly change the trajectory of our family's generational wealth. If we have this information, have it early, start having these conversations because they really matter. Having these genuine conversations at home with our children, with our nieces and nephews, and having them understand that, you know, not just money doesn't go on three, but how do we look at our finances differently, right? So instead of saying, you know, credit cards are bad, which is what a lot of times, unfortunately, we are taught. No, how can we leverage this to be used to our advantage, right? So I have not spent a dime of my own money buying Christmas gifts for my boys in about 5 years. So I take the credit. I use my credit cards for everything, but you have to be responsible. And so I know that I have to pay my credit card bills off at the end of every month. That's the only way it will actually work. Because if you're paying interest, that it doesn't work for you, right? So I use that rewards to buy my kids gifts and having them see that, oh, wow, this is another way that we can leverage other people's money and have it work for us. So having them understand these lessons early is truly, truly profound.
Why do you think people struggle with the conversation of money? As I was preparing for this conversation, Anissa, I thought about two things that people seem to be uncomfortable discussing. Their intimate relationship with their partner sexually, mm-hmm. and their money issues. And as I was preparing for this conversation, I know we're going to talk about family, our children. Those are two conversations that people struggle with. And talking about intimacy. So if you and I are good friends and you're married, I'm married, and we're talking, it's sort of strange. Same thing with money. Why do people hold back or hesitant to share with other people the intimacy around money, because money is energy. It's energy.
It is.
It comes and it goes. It's going to be here one day, and it's
a tool.
It's like relationship. It's a tool to get something.
It's a tool.
Right? Why do people sort of shy away from having those conversations?
They shy away because they take it so personal, right? They're emotionally attached to the lack. And I think that is what has been ingrained. So they don't want to talk about it because they don't want anyone to know that they don't know. And that's one of the things that I say, like, parents can't teach what they don't know. And so that's one of the reasons they are scared to have the conversation, is because they don't want their children to know that mommy doesn't know or daddy doesn't know, instead of saying, let's learn together, right? Let's, you know, it's okay to say, I didn't have these lessons. Now that you do, let's all learn this together. And I think that one of the biggest things is the fear that they're going to be judged on what they didn't learn, judged on what they don't know, instead of just saying, okay, this is where I am, and owning up to where they are financially. And that is why a lot of people don't get out of debt, is because they're scared to just own up to where they are.
Do you find it easier to talk to children about finances than adults? I don't know, whatever's happening, my dog is in my studio, and he must like your voice. And he never, you saw Biko jumping up every now and then, especially when I was like, bop, 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 I can't say it aloud again, but he must like what you're talking about or something. He's getting excited. But do you find it easier to talk to adults about finances, or do you find it easier to talk to young people?
I find it easier to talk to adults, because a lot of times they're coming from the place of, I want to learn now. And so when I do have conversations, there are children who have been exposed. For the ones that have not been exposed, the conversation is a little bit more challenging, because they don't really know what I'm talking about, right? They haven't had that exposure into, they just know that, oh, we get money, we spend money. But having those real meaningful conversations around money sometimes can be harder with those children who have not been exposed to that conversation at all.
Well, I know you're using a tool to engage children. You have two books.
Yes.
That you're using to have conversations with young people and adults about books. Talk to us about, tell us the title of the books again, and tell us what we can learn from those lessons. Tell us some of the lessons that we can learn from some of the books that you've written.
Okay, so my first book is Teach Me How to Money Now. And the reason I titled that book is because I truly want our children, our families. So it's not just a book, it's a holistic book for the entire family. I want families to engage. And so the lessons that we can learn, I have it right here.
Hey, pull it out. There it is. Money, yes, and green, and so, color, green. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And so there are 8 lessons. And the first lesson is understanding why kids need to learn about money. The second lesson is understanding why savings is key. The third lesson is understanding the debt trap. Now, do not want to get in the debt trap. Understanding investing, understanding credit and how to leverage it, understanding the art of negotiating. That's something that I did talk about, because I feel that that is something that is really lacking in our community. And money for college. That is one of my big, big things, is getting our families to understand that they don't have to go in student loan debt. There's so much money, scholarship money out there. Just take the time to apply for those scholarships. And
Well, that's the lesson I told to my daughter. You are not taking out a student loan. So we're paying straight out of pocket.
She received
some scholarships from pageants and her academic stuff. But I told her, you are not coming out of college in debt. No student loan, anything. One of my good friends, and she listened to Michelle, I'm not even going to say her name, but she's going to know what I'm talking about. Dad took care of college for Anissa. Dad is doing extremely well. Dad, again, didn't go to college like us. But he's just a hardworking man, and told his daughter, not going to take out any loans. She decides to take out a loan, okay? And the loan, what do you think she used the money for? To buy some clothes, to
living
buy some
expenses.
Living expenses. And didn't need to.
That's what I couldn't understand.
And she said, I was so stupid for doing that. She said, my father did not, and I had to pay. I said, you should have had to pay it back, because he took care of your tuition and all this other thing. But again, we see all this other stuff, and you know, with social media now, it's a big, big deal. And she's still paying for that, for some clothes. I say, can you fit those jeans from 99?
No.
Can you fit that top? Did your feet shrink, or did it get too big? So again, with my children. I said, you don't like it now, but when you leave out in 4 years, because I told them I'm only paying for 4 years of college. I'm being real
clear.
That's it. That's all you're getting with me. 4 years.
And
after
those
that,
are the conversations that we have to have. And so one of the biggest culture shocks for me when I started college here was when I saw people taking out student loans for living expenses and they lived at home. I was like, what are you doing?
What? Yeah, that's crazy. That makes no sense.
I would have these conversations like, you know, you're going to have to pay this money back, right? And they're like, oh, you know, because to them at that time, 6 months was a long, oh, you don't have to start paying it back. And they didn't even understand. I was like, okay, so what kind of loans do you have? Are they subsidized or unsubsidized? They didn't even know. They didn't know. So if they were unsubsidized loans, then the interest started accruing the moment you got that loan.
Wow. Somebody needs to hear this right now. Talk about the other book that you wrote as well.
Yes. So Cooper Learns to Save.
It's from my 5-year-old.
His name is Cooper. And these are actually really lessons that Cooper and I we've gone through. So actually he has three jars, saving, spending, and sharing. And we actually have these jars and he puts his money in it. And so just
Go ahead, Cooper.
We went to the bank. So we actually have the story of him going to the bank to open up his first account and depositing his money and his savings. And so just introducing younger children, 5 years old and up to these money strategies, you know, how to start saving and, you know, spending and sharing.
Wow. So you're writing books, you have an amazing website, which I want you to give. And then are you also teaching classes? You're working with families? Let our listeners know how they can get in contact with you to pick up your books and they want to go to your website. And if there's a family or an individual or a young person that's listening out there who wants to sit down with Miss Anissa Morgan and learn what Cooper is learning and learn what everybody else is learning, how can they actually do that?
So first they can go to my website, which is dollarsat10.org. They can follow me on Instagram at dollarsat10 and on Facebook at Teach Me How to Money Now. The name dollarsat10 came from me actually starting to handle my money at the age of 10. And I truly believe that all children should have that opportunity to have some exposure to learning about money as early as 10. I truly believe that. And that's why I actually named my company dollarsat10.
I'm so mad you didn't grow up on my block. You know what? We could have been a millionaire. Like, because I was a master negotiator. I'm like, listen, I got it, Anissa. You manage the money. You manage the money. You just let me do the talking. We'll take
it. Yes.
So you're doing all this great work. Final question for this section. What impact do you want to leave on the world with all the things that you're doing? What impact do you want to leave?
The impact I most want to leave on the world is really just having our families, especially our Black families, understand that where you start is not where you have to end. And I know a lot of times is that we may start out not having enough, but we don't have to end not having enough. And if we learn the lessons of understanding our finances, understanding how to leverage our money, just learning those lessons and learning them early can really change the trajectory. Just understanding the wealth that we can leave behind, right? No more should our grandparents lose their homes that they've worked hard for because they didn't pay the taxes, because they didn't understand what that meant, right? Because having this home could be passed down to this family for generations to come, and that could be their generational wealth, right? So one of the most impactful lessons I want, so let us not, you know, hurt for lack of knowledge. Let's learn these lessons, learn these money lessons. They're so important.
Well, you heard it. That was Cooper's mama right there. that was Cooper's mama who was dropping some jewels all the way from the great island of Jamaica.
Yes.
She's a yachty. Shout out to the Jamaican track team and all the great things that are taking place over there. Let me just tell you, if money grew on trees, you know Jamaica would be naked. Those trees would be naked right now, that beautiful island with all those beautiful trees. So I want to thank you for hanging out with me right now, but you cannot leave Anissa Morgan. The second part of the show is called The Super Bomb Questions. It's brought to us by Mountain Mate, The difference between the first and the second part is, the second part is I'm going to ask these questions as quickly as possible. You need to respond as quickly as possible. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
All right, Anissa, what is your favorite word?
My favorite word, finance.
What's your favorite quote? It could be a song to a lyric to a song, a Bible verse, or just a quote that you may like.
A lack of knowledge or people perish. That is actually my favorite quote. And I do not want for lack of knowledge or people to perish.
What's your superpower?
My superpower is just being the best mom, the best educator that I can be. And sometimes it doesn't necessarily mean that I have to touch every child. I believe that if I can touch that one child, that the difference that I make in their life, right, can change. I don't know whose life they can impact. And so my goal is to just change that one person's life. And so I truly believe that that is my superpower, is educating our young people, especially around money.
What's your spirit animal?
Oh, my spirit animal. I've never thought of that. I've never thought of that before.
All those animals running around Jamaica.
I know.
Animals running around New York City too.
I've never thought about. I probably would say maybe my spirit animal would be a gazelle, because I want to go as fast as I can and touch as many people as I can with this information.
What moves you to tears of joy?
What moves me to tears of joy is seeing the impact that learning and understanding finances can have, not only on, I think one of the things that actually moved me to tears was when my grandmother told me that after reading my book, she took her grandchild to the bank for the first time to open up an account. And that moved me to tears, because of course, you know, I was raised by my grandmother. And so that just truly, truly impacted me, because I know how I was with my grandma.
What moves you to tears of sorrow?
So this is a tough one for me, because I just lost my grandmother on September 11th.
Sorry.
And to know that she's no longer here with me, she was, you know, one of my best friends. She raised me. We, you know, as much as when I was younger, I didn't understand a lot of the things that she was trying to teach me, as an adult, we were best friends. And so knowing that I will not have her guidance anymore definitely moved me to sorrow.
What do you wish you had more time to do?
What I wish I had more time to do, and now I will definitely do it, is just let the people in my life know how much I love them. Take that time to let them know and listen to that inner voice. So my grandmother turned 75 July 9th, and I was moved to go and celebrate her birthday with her. And so I invited other family members to come along, and they were like, no, I can't travel because of COVID, put it off until next year. And I said no. And so my family and I went, my husband and my three boys, and we had the most wonderful time. And I had no idea that was going to be the last time I saw her. And so whenever God lays something on your heart, do it. It doesn't matter what anyone else says. Don't let them tell you to put it off till next week, till next year, till whenever. If he laid it on your heart, just do it and walk in that. Because even in my sadness right now, I am joyful because I got to spend that quality time with her. I didn't know it was my last, but, you know, so just do, be, and make that impact.
Good, good piece. What is the book or books you've given most as a gift, and why?
The books I have given most before my books. I think one was Rich Dad, Poor Dad, because I wanted, it had an impact on me when I started my journey out reading that book early. I read it when I was in college. And I think that's one of the books that I gave out. Now it will be teach me how to money and Cooper learns to save.
There we go. Anissa Morgan, final question. If you were in the Mrs. America, not the Mrs. Jamaica, but the Mrs. America talent competition, Anissa Morgan, what would your talent be?
My talent would be spoken word.
Go ahead.
I would, at first, I didn't see that talent in myself younger, but as I've grown older, I have come to love speaking life into others. And through spoken word, I know that's something that I would leave an impact and a mark on others.
Well, you have definitely spoken a powerful word here, Anissa Morgan. Thank you for hanging out with me. Go out to her website, check out what she's doing. I'm telling you, not only just for your children, but for yourselves, dollars at 10. Anissa, thanks for hanging out with me today. Thank you for hanging out with me.
So much for having me. It was a pleasure. Thank you. Thank you so much. I hope to come back another time. So I have to pay you a huge, huge compliment. So my middle child, Jaden is one of the sweetest kids. He's high function autistic, my baby. But so he came home from school. Normally I ask every day, you know, how was school? What did you learn today? And normally he was just like, good. Good, you know, that's his normal thing he tells me. So this day he comes home and he said, Mom, we had the most amazing speaker at school today. I think his name was Dr. Lamar Shields. And I was like, really? He's like, yes, Mom, he was really, really good. I was like, he must have been good to have made an impact on you that you're telling me about it. And he's like, yes, he's like, you should follow him on Instagram. And I was like, okay. And so I thought that you touched my Jaden. And that is one of the reasons I actually made sure that I was present when I saw you presenting, that you were going to be presenting to the parents at Southwind. I was like, doesn't matter what I'm doing today, I'm going to clear my schedule and I am going to be at this meeting because you made such an impact on my Jaden. So thank you so much.
Thank you. Look at me getting all emotional, man. I appreciate that. First of all, for boys, be it on the spectrum or not on the spectrum, to get them to articulate anything that's not sports related, girl related, Instagram, hip hop related, TikTok related. So Jaden, man, thank you for the love. I appreciate it. And thank you for coming to the parent session. And also thank you for all the work. I need, you know, in this work that we do, a lot of times we don't get those thank yous. A lot of times we don't know the people that we have an effect on. And I have this affinity for boys, when it comes to boys in particular, and no disrespect to no other culture, but boys of color, boys that look like me, to get them to articulate that is a great feeling. So I appreciate that. And thank you for sharing that. And I want to share this with all my listeners, not just to brag about anything that I'm doing, but just to say that our young people are listening and that their parents are listening. And the fact that he came home and shared it and you decided, hey, I'm going to join this Zoom call about what does it mean to be engaged with the school. So I appreciate it. Thanks a lot.
Yes, because you made such an impact. I'm telling you, to me, when Jaden started opening up and telling me, I was like, oh my God, he must have made a huge impact on you. And so thank you. Thank you for what you're doing. And it really, really meant a lot to me because my Jaden is a sweetheart and we've had lots of challenges, you know, with his diagnosis and, you know, going through, but you really made an impact on him. And when he was so excited when I told him I was coming on and talking to you.
Oh, that is great. Thank you for hanging out with me. And I got to thank my amazing engineer, Alexander Blanc, my super duper producer, Nicole Klimpaka, Supremacy, for that dope theme music, and all of you for listening. Listen, make sure you subscribe, leave a comment, stop being stingy, and go and share me with all of your friends. We're on every platform. Make sure you subscribe. Please do so. If you want to know more about me, go to drdrlds.com. My final thoughts today, if you want your children to develop good spending and saving habits, they need to see making smart spending and saving choices early. In a short practice, what you preach, and preach with consistency. Educating your children about personal finance is a process that can take time, but if you put in the effort and continuously communicate a clear message about money, you want to instill good habits that will serve you and your children. You've been listening to Sound Bombing. Peace.
The Super Bomb Questions are brought to you by Mountain Made CBD. Mountain Made is changing the CBD game by offering a line of high-dose CBD tablets at an affordable price. Their products are THC-free and third-party tested for accuracy, cleanliness, and potency. Their products, which ship nationwide, include Build for CBD saturation, Boost for precision titration, and Recover for rest and rehab. With 9 years experience in hemp and fitness, Mountain Maid's founders are focused on creating a quality product to help those who live an activated lifestyle. Check out mountainmaid.life. Again, that's mountainmaid.life to find out more about how their products can help you crush life. Remember, their products ship nationwide. Go check out their website today and follow them on social media. At Mountain Maid, that's the at symbol MNTMADE. Our staff at Sound Balming uses Build before a morning workout, which helps to push our bodies to a whole new level on a daily basis. Try Build, try Boost, try Recover. Our staff is using these products to enhance our active lifestyle naturally, and we are crushing life with Mountain Maid CBD. And you can too. Start today by going to mountainmaid.life and ordering Build, Boost, Recover, or the multitude of other products that they have which will enhance your lifestyle. I promise you, you won't regret it.